Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available voice-activated navigation. More at acura.com/RDX.
Welcome to Press Start, an all-NPR podcast about the art and culture of video games. I'm Ralph Cooper.
I'm Kyle Orland.
And we're here for our second of two podcasts coming out of E3. And the first time we kind of discussed winners and losers and what we saw and what we liked and things of that nature. Today we're kind of talking about the parties and our overall impression of everything. And I guess I went to two of the many parties that were down here. And the first night I went to the Conan party, it was great. Everything that I look for in an adult video game themed party, it was great.
That's definitely not a kiddie game there.
No. And they made sure that you knew this was not a kiddie game. Like there were scantily clad women. There was an open bar, and there were snakes. So it was like, yeah, this is not for kids.
Scandalous.
It was also cool because when I went to the Conan party, I met our brother podcast in Puerto Rico. Yeah. There's a Press Start Puerto Rico. Big shout out to Frankie and Pedro. In the PR, holding it down. You guys are going to hear some of their podcasts coming up soon. You know, we're going to try and do the bilingual thing, hit everybody off. Yeah. And Kyle, where did you go the first party?
I was going to the Rock Band party, which was out at the Troubadour, and they were rocking things up. First off, they started with Rock Band. They came out and just played. You know, they're on this stage where the Doors and Billy Joel and everyone you can name has played. They bring out a video game and they play it up there, and it's like a rock concert. You know, they got the screen behind them, they're seeing the things, and yet they're actually playing the song. And if they mess up, they mess up. It's they're, you know, real pressure. And then they got Queens of the Stone Age and Eagles of Heavy Metal came out. It was a rocking party. They were really getting everyone into it, really trying to wine and dine you, get you interested. Not that you need the party for that game. That I'd be interested in that game even if I just saw it, you know, in some dirty alley back anywhere. It's really going to be big when it comes out.
Yeah, I heard a lot of noise about it, actually, and I also heard from a number of people that the highlight of that Rockstar party was like the whole crowd almost was singing songs and waving together. Is that true?
Yeah, there was another one where we got together later and played Rock Band, a few journalists, and everyone was singing along. We were doing Wanted, Dead or Alive, and it was just, you know, it's an instant party there.
I have to admit, I tried Guitar Hero at the Activision booth and at the Xbox booth, and I absolutely suck. I so suck. And like, I tried to pick a black song.
It'll take some practice, you know? Have you played the other Guitar Heroes at all?
I had to borrow yours, which may never happen. So, but I have tried it. And I think the game itself is innovative. Some of the things that I know I've argued about in the podcast, about it not having, they definitely had it. In fact, there was one of the avatars that's used in Guitar Hero 2 looks like Jimi Hendrix.
There you go.
And I thought that was really cool.
That's nice.
What else? I saw that I felt like, and I'm no expert, but I felt like the buttons to hit the frets in the new game way faster.
Really?
Which is something I'm noticing, I guess, just as a general thing. Like, I saw Turok.
Uh-huh.
And Turok is easily one of the fastest games I've ever seen.
Like, you mean the controls are responsive, real quick?
I mean, the controls are responsive. The graphics are responsive.
Yeah.
The fact that you, one of the guns you have is a shotgun. If you, and all guns have secondary fire. If you secondary fire the shotgun, you shoot a flare. In the rare case in Turok that a dinosaur and an enemy are around you, if you shoot the flare at the enemy, the dinosaur chases the flare and kills the enemy.
Nice.
And then you can go back and take everybody out. And it was just really impressive from an AI standpoint. Yeah. It was really, really nice.
One of the things you really notice at this show is that everything has, you know, an HD screen, big, wide, flat panel. And then if you see a game that's not in HD, that's just a regular game, you do notice.
Yeah.
It is a difference. But it's only really a difference because you have these other games to compare it to right next to it. I don't think if you had just seen everything at standard definition, I don't know. What do you think, Ralph?
I think that's a little hard for me to deal because, like, I mean, I agree with you. I was thinking the same thing, like, in the respect that if I look at a 360 and a PlayStation 3 screen in HD, like the Bigs, for example,
right.
They have the Bigs on three different, they're all on the same screen. Mm-hmm. And the 360 version looks better than the PlayStation version, looks better than the Wii version.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, but the issue with the Wii version is that it plays better.
Really?
To me, I thought it played better.
You just use the remote to swing, just like Wii Baseball?
Yeah, just like Wii Baseball. And, like, you know, if you swing and you move a
certain way left or a certain way right, you know, it changes the direction.
Oh, that's nice, because in Wii Baseball, it's just whenever you swing, it does the same swing. It doesn't really matter. But this one, it actually detects if you're up or down. Or
And I think if you squeeze the trigger, it alternates between, like, a power swing and a regular swing, which is also something you don't have in the Wii Baseball. So, I mean, I thought that, you know, a lot of the HD games, they're nice, but on the real, most people can't afford HD. So, you know,
if you don't have an HD TV, you're not going to get the experience you're getting at E3 here, where everything is, you know, super slick.
Yeah. The hangar that we're in right now, I can't even really count it, but I'd say there's easily over 50 flat screen televisions in here.
Oh, I'd say a few hundred, actually. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's literally like walking into an arcade like you're a kid again. You know what I mean?
It really is.
It's really impressive. Except for the lack of booth babes. They've all been replaced by PR booth women, because that's what they are. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of cool. There's some developers around as well, and I really like the developers.
You can definitely talk to people, which is nice. You can, you know, go right next to them, and you play a game, and someone will come up and say, oh, I designed this game.
Right.
And you're like, oh, well, what were you thinking? What were you doing? At the old E3, that might happen, but you had to really yell at them. You're like, oh, so you like this game? I really like it. What are you doing? Why this? You know, can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I definitely enjoy the accessibility. So it that was good, because even at the, I guess to get back to what we were talking about, the parties, at the Conan party, I was there with the guy who created Conan, who's in charge of Eidos.
Uh-huh.
And that was cool. You know what I'm saying? It was nice to meet him and see he was a down-to-earth guy. The second night, I went to the Commodore 64 party where they... They celebrated 30 years of being the first creators of the first personal computer, not the Apple. That's what they were quick to tell us.
Uh-huh.
And they also showed off their brand new computer, the Commodore K, which, you know, from a gaming perspective, it did look pretty good.
Nice.
I must say, it did look pretty good. However, a Commodore almost ruined my E3 experience, because whatever food they had at this place last night, I really felt like, and still feel to a certain point, you know, I ought to get a purple heart for this podcast. I'm definitely
let this be a lesson to anyone planning on going to E3, bring a food taster.
Yes, bring a royal taster, because for real, if you don't, you have a royal stomach pain like I've had all morning. I didn't get to visit our cohorts out at NPR West. And
all right, so we're running a little low on time. There's a lot of games here.
Yep.
Just to give a quick rundown, Ralph, of a few of the top games you saw.
It's still so hard. I'm going to put Wii Fit in there, even though I still haven't had a chance to really play it. I'm watching everybody play it, and it's ridiculous.
I played Wii Fit a little bit, and I've realized I have really bad posture and bad balance. I suck at Wii Fit, but it's a good workout. It doesn't look like much of a workout. You know, you're just kind of fidgeting a little bit. When you have to hold a little pose for, you know, a good 5 minutes, and you're moving around that whole time, you work up a sweat. It's like doing crunches standing up.
Yeah. No. They. I remember when we had the press conference, they had a girl come out on the Wii Fit board hitting a lotus position, which is your left arm outstretched, right leg to the instep, and it's that's a hard thing to do. And to imagine that the different levels in the Wii Fit go through that, to me, is just really impressive.
The only problem with Wii Fit compared to some other exercise things like Wii Sports or something is that this isn't really a party game. You're not going to, you know, crouch down on the Wii Fit pad while everyone's around watching you. It's kind of embarrassing. So, you know, it's more a game you use as a virtual personal trainer. You do it for an hour each day, and you'll see a difference.
Yeah, I don't know. I might have to disagree with you a little one, because I like the soccer heading. Like, they do have a little bit of party game going, but you would need two Wii Fits.
Two boards. Yeah, that adds up if you want to do the whole experience.
Yeah, and I'm totally waiting for the first Tony Hawk board that integrates the Wii Fit.
That
will be ridiculous.
Or surfing games or something.
Yeah. And Nintendo, Reggie, you guys, I know y'all are listening to us. You know, we're giving you innovation again here.
How's it going, Reggie?
Yeah, how's it going, Reggie? Reggie Philamis, president of Nintendo. We like that guy. I think he could beat Barack Obama right now, really.
What else you got?
What else did I see? I totally enjoy Ubisoft. I'm totally delighted with everything I saw with them. I loved Rayman Raving Rabbids.
Oh, that's a great game. Yeah. The second one?
Yeah, and I got to beat the crap out of the Ubisoft people, so that made me really happy.
They fixed a lot of the problems with the first game, too, where you had to unlock everything going through the single player. Now it's real smooth. You can do multiplayer right off the bat, pretty much.
Yeah.
I like the games they got.
Yeah. And I even like Naruto.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you try that?
No, Naruto was all right. I mean, I can't front. I would never watch the cartoon normally, but... The game itself was kind of cool. I was like, it was all right. And also, Ubisoft had the Frag Dolls.
Oh, yeah.
Who I'm glad to say I toasted. Holla. I toasted like two of the frag dolls in their own game, so it made me happy.
You think you're good? You can't take on the Press Start crew.
Nah, man. Y'all don't want none. Don't contest a champion.
Or the gaming gods.
Yes, gods.
Anything else, Ralph?
PGR 5.
Project Gotham
totally
Racing.
Was feeling Project Gotham good. Racing 5. And I'll go four. To you after this because it's funny.
Four?
Is it four?
Four or five. We'll check.
Yeah, we'll check. I can't remember. All I know is
Fact checker.
Yeah, fact checker. We need a stat boy, too. So we're looking for Royal Chasers and stat boys. But the thing I like about it, I was playing MotoGP, the new MotoGP, which is really nice, I must admit. One of the game designers from MotoGP comes over to me and was like, if you really like the motorcycle games, you should go try PGR.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, that's an endorsement for
that
you.
It is. From MotoGP. I mean, if they like it as a motorcycle, that's good.
Yeah, no, and I have to admit, it's really good. Very smooth. Nice. Totally gets you into it. You have like four or five different camera views.
Cool.
That was the other one. The two that I definitely walked in first to play today were Stranglehold and PGR. So that's where I'm at.
Nice.
And you, sir?
I think the game of the show, I think, was Rock Band, but close second is Super Mario Galaxy. Now, I'm a huge Mario fan. You know, I'm going to like a Mario game no matter what. But this one really changes things up. The little worlds that you're going around, just the idea of walking upside down on the screen, you know, it might not seem like much, but the fact that you can loop all the way around, it really plays mind games with your head. It's not like the old Mario games where it was just, you know, linear or, you know, you just were on a flat surface. It really changes things up. And, you know, it wasn't that awkward. It wasn't as awkward as I thought using the pointer at the same time as you're jumping around. You use the pointer to collect stuff. And you waggle it around to do, like, a spin move.
Now, and I have to admit, I like that. And in terms of full disclosure, we must say that when Press Start showed up at the Nintendo press conference, Mr. Kyle Orland definitely held down Super Mario Galaxy.
I was magnetized that game. I saw it in the corner. I'm like, bye, Ralph. I'm playing this.
What else, man?
I was just seeing a lot of the independent games they were showing off. And there's this really interesting one called Night Vision, which is kind of a art project game where you're wandering around this really grainy cam, black and white area. They don't explain anything. You just walk around and look around. You can harness your power at times, and if you do that, you could float through the whole landscape. It's not really too much of an explicit goal. It's just really beautiful, and it looks like you're walking through a video, like one of those old surveillance cameras.
If I remember right, that's the game where the whole point of the game is enlightenment at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's very meditative state to the game. And there's another one out there called Braid, which is another type of... It's just a 2D platformer there, but the whole thing is you can reverse time, like in Prince of Persia, except there's no limit to it. It's not really about the action game like Prince of Persia is. It's about solving puzzles with the time reversal. So it starts off really easy, and then there's things that you can't reverse time on. There's levels where if you move to the right, the things go forward, and if you move to the left, things go backwards. A lot of really interesting time-based stuff, and... it's a short little game that's going to come out soon. I really like that. Trying to think what else I've seen. I've seen so many games this week. Mm-hmm. It's just, they all kind of blur together sometimes.
Yeah, and the worst part is, all right, we're in the hangar where we've done our podcast here. We're about to close on you, but here's the thing. In here, you've got G4 Television, you've got Konami, Capcom, Ubisoft, Atari, 2K. You've got a lot of people in here. And this is just the hangar. If you go to the different hotels, there are like four different hotels where on this Friday there's going to be open sessions where you can just go in and walk in and play different games. I know a couple of people I spoke to were heading over to the Casa del Mar to see 2K unveil their football game today.
Oh.
So, you know, I mean, it was a lot of activity. It was a lot going on.
It's really hard to see everything. Even, you know, the show floor is a lot smaller, but just getting from place to place, getting from the show floor to the hotels and putting enough time into everything, there's so many games out there. Can't do them all. But one of the things I was noticing, though, is you really don't have to play all of them. A lot of them, you know, it's another first-person shooter.
Right.
It's another war game. How many of these games do you need? It's really hard to find the true standout original games out there. There were a few, and there were a few that, you know, took an old concept and really good execution. But a lot of them, I think there's just too many games sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny you say that, because I was... How many times, I mean, are we going to come out with Command & Conquer 19?
Oh, God.
You know, I mean, like, you know, every time you turn around, it's like sequels of movies. It's like the same game you loved before, but just a tweak here, tweak there.
The worst, I think, is the first-person shooters, where everyone and their brother wants in on, you know, they're not all going to be Halo guys.
Exactly.
Just come up with a new idea. I know it's not that simple, but try.
Right, right. And also, I would like to say to you first-person shooter guys, can we get up, like, new things to shoot, like new stories, okay? Like the whole war-ravaged London thing, the war-ravaged New York thing. All right, we're out of war now. We got you.
Yeah. World War II is done. It's been done for, like, 50-plus years, more than that.
Save us, please. Please save us. But, you know, moment of silence quick for our podcast member who's not here, Rob Holt.
Rob, we miss you.
Yeah,
right. Wish you were out here.
Call us on an iPhone player.
Another moment of silence for the old E3.
Oh, yes.
I don't think it's ever coming back, unfortunately. It's going to probably be like this if it's here at all. If it's going to continue, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little corporate, y'all. It's a little corporate. All of y'all worried about getting locked out. The only thing you really missed was seeing the games. You were okay. You're fine. And, you know, I know Joystick as well as G4 showed everything that happened.
Oh, yeah. So. You can follow at home. You can follow along in the show at home, I think, just as well or even better than being here because you're at the computer and everything gets brought to you. You can't actually play the games, but you see the video now. You got interviews. You got recaps, previews. I mean, you can get a full experience.
And one more thing, Kyle, on the way out the door here,
yep.
If you can briefly, talk to me about what I saw as E3's total embracing of electronic media. I mean, bloggers.
Oh, yeah.
Podcasters. I mean, even people who had, like, small websites who might have been around for a year.
Sure. There were guys here from Reuters, from AP, from big places like MTV. G4 had a huge booth. But then you see other places are from, like, GoNintendo.com.
Right,
or,
NintendoPlayers.com.
Yeah, Gaming Nexus. You know,
right.
Smaller sites that still got in. It was only 3,000 people, but there were still a lot of really smaller media represented. I don't think too many guys are getting frozen out, actually.
Yeah,
I think they did a good balance, because you can't have too many people, because then you're waiting in line, and it's loud and everything. And you can't have too few, because then it's only, you know, a few viewpoints.
Right.
I think they're getting close to the right balance.
Yeah, I'm glad you answered that, brother. So with that, you've been listening to Press Start, all NPR podcasts about the art and culture of video games. We'll be coming back to you guys soon with another podcast, probably in about 2 weeks.
Yep.
And I'm Ralph Cooper.
I'm Kyle Orland.
And Rob ain't here, but we all say peace.
Peace, Rob.
All right. Big shout out to Melvin Picard, by the way. Word.